Thanks so much for tuning in to the Moonee Ponds Baptist Church podcast. Here we upload our weekly teachings that happen every Sunday at our 10 a.m. service. If we can help you in any way, feel free to reach out to us and check out our website at mpbc.org.au.
Our reading for today comes from Galatians 5:13 to 14, Galatians 5:25 until chapter 6 till verse 2, and Mark 10 verses 46 to 52. I'm reading from NIV. Galatians 5:13 to 14. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself." The next reading, Galatians 5:25, verse 25 says, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." From chapter 6, verses 1 to 2, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Mark 10, verses 46 to 52. "Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him. The blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Raylene. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, that it is a light to our feet. It's a guide for our lives. It helps us to encounter you and know you more and know the desires that you have for us. It leads us to know your Spirit and encounter your Spirit in us, so that we can live like in the way that Jesus would have us live. I pray that you would use your word this morning to challenge us and to encourage us and to build our lives to be more like Jesus. Amen. Well, when it comes to building a better relationship with your spouse or your children or your friends or colleagues at work, listening is one of the most important skills that you need. Unfortunately, though, we're not generally very good at listening. Research shows although we spend 60% of our time listening when communicating, we actually only retain about 25% of what we hear. And there are many reasons for this. We live in a world full of distractions. We've got short attention spans. Did you hear that? We've got short attention spans. But many of us also spend time thinking about how we'll respond when we're listening to another person talk, rather than actually listen to them in order to understand what they're saying. And there's nothing more off-putting to developing a friendship with someone than poor listening. But the flip side is also true. There's nothing more healing and more helpful in building a relationship than talking with someone who really listens. And so I read a research article this week, a study actually. It was the other day. It was just an overview of it published in Forbes magazine. And it started out by asking people about their assumptions, okay? Because we've all got assumptions, don't we? About who they think are good listeners. And maybe you've got your own. And so I thought a good way to start my message this morning was for us to maybe get some of our assumptions out on the screen. So if you've got your phone, we're going to do a Mentimeter now. We'll leave Fred Bassett alone for a bit. And if you've got your phone, you can look at the Mentimeter. And if you're watching at home, there's a link that's actually in the WhatsApp page if you want to go to that. Hopefully you can use that QR code to log on to that. Everyone's logging on. That's good. Okay, so we're gonna go for it now. So the first question that we are going to ask, what is your assumption? Which group is generally better at listening, men or women? Which group is better at listening generally, men or women? Do I need to repeat that for anyone? Let's have a show of hands who didn't hear that. No, I can't tempt you that way, can I? Which group is generally better at listening, men or women? Well, we're going to go for a refresh in a second of that page.
It's 83% women.
83% women. We can't get it on the screen again, eh? All right. We can get it on the back computer. So we'll need a microphone at the back if we can't get it on the screen. Going to have to, why don't you read them out for us, Jess? That'd be great. 83% women. Okay, that's an assumption. Okay, are there more women here this morning than men? Could be unfair. All right, so the second question is, do you become better or worse at listening? Do people get better or worse at listening when they get older? Do people get better or worse at listening when they get older? Now, I'm not talking about like hard of hearing because you haven't got your hearing aids on. I'm talking about the act of listening. Do people become better at listening as they get older, better or worse?
There are more votes for better. 17 with better and 13 for worse.
Okay, so it's pretty close, though, but a few more saying people get better at listening. 17 versus 13, is that right? Has it changed again, or?
Yeah, it's slightly, but pretty much the same.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is one. In which countries are people the best listeners? Okay, we've got a very, very multicultural congregation. You've travelled a lot. So which countries are people better listeners? Which part of the world are people better listeners? Now, there might be a bit of ethnocentrism. You might say where you come from, but come on, I want you to be really honest this morning. As you've travelled around. What's that?
Philippines, Malawi, Russia, New Zealand, Africa, Australia, Japan.
Okay. Okay, say that to me. What's the top one? Oh, no, it's not a top one, but to
the
any...
The biggest word currently is Japan.
The biggest word is Japan. Okay, interesting. All right. Okay, which occupations have people who are the best listeners? Which occupations do you think have people who are the best listeners?
Doctors, teachers, nurse, psychologist, hairdressers.
Hairdresser.
Contractors.
Contractors.
Speech therapist.
Speech therapist.
Occupational therapist.
Okay. Okay, interesting. Okay.
Therapist is the biggest one.
Therapist, okay. Which occupations have the least effective listeners? Oh, Johnny, you need to put that in your phone. It's meant to be private. Which occupations have the least effective listeners? I won't say worse.
So we got husbands.
Now, that's not an occupation.
Politicians. Pastors.
Oh, pastors. Oh, I'm wounded.
Traffic wardens.
I didn't hear that. What did you say?
Hairdressers.
Hairdressers. Oh, okay.
Police.
All right. That's enough. I'm shamed. All right. Well, it's no surprise that women have a significantly stronger preference for listening than men. I don't think to any of us. Though, as people get older, they become better listeners, even men. So there's actually hope for us. But women are generally better listeners at every age. That's the that's what Forbes magazine told me. What was interesting about your answers is that apparently Canadians are the best listeners. I haven't verified that yet with Nicole. But I'll do that afterwards and we'll put it on the board. And in the corporate world, people who are in human resources, HR, are considered the best listeners. And I'm sorry to say that the worst are apparently lawyers, but I've heard they've gone to court to try and overturn that verdict. So maybe the jury's still out on that one. But none of us need a survey to tell us that listening's hard work, do we? Currently, we're in the middle of a series. I'm in the middle of a series on building better relationships. And so far, we've looked at building better relationships through selflessness and also through humility. And this week, I want to suggest that you'll build a better relationship with your partner or spouse, with your children, with your friends, your colleagues, and your neighbours by becoming better listeners. But there are also other benefits from listening. When you practice listening, you will also fulfill the commandment of Jesus to love your neighbour as you love yourself. The best definition that I've heard of what listening is was spoken actually by a girl in grade four. A teacher asked her class of grade four students, "What is listening?" And after a period of silence, one young girl raised her hand and answered, and she said, "Listening is wanting to hear." That is a profound answer. I think it goes to the very heart of what it means to listen. Her definition tells us that listening isn't then just a sort of function of the body. It's not like coughing or breathing. It defines listening primarily as an act of love, which is why listening is one of the best ways to build deeper relationships with someone. And it's why it is a way that we can love our neighbours. In Galatians 6 verse 2, Paul says that we fulfill the law of Christ when we carry each other's burdens. And I find this is a big statement. You actually fulfill the law of Christ, okay, when you carry each other's burdens. And I think we need to explore that a bit as we go on with this. First, let's think about the law of Christ for a moment. And if earlier in Galatians, Paul actually, which Raylene spoke to us before, Paul actually says that the entire law is fulfilled by keeping just one commandment, which is to love your neighbour as you love yourself. And so Jesus highlighted the importance of loving our neighbour as ourselves in that most famous story of his about the story of the Good Samaritan who rescues a Jewish man who'd been beaten up and left for dead on the side of the road. And in that situation, loving his neighbour involved a man doing a very selfless and costly act. He actually took that man and and cared for him, put him on his donkey, took him to a town and then paid for someone to care for him while he recovered. It was a grand act of compassion. And so Jesus went on to say that our neighbour is anyone who is in need. That's why loving your neighbour is referred to here by Paul as the law, as the law of Christ. Okay, it's the one that Jesus emphasised as the one of the main commandments. But in Galatians, Paul says that loving your neighbour is not only for doing grand and obvious acts like rescuing someone who's been left for dead. He says that it actually involves ordinary loving acts that everyone is qualified to do, such as seeking to carry our neighbour's burdens. And this makes sense because everyone is carrying some sort of burden today. Our neighbours have burdens. Our friends, classmates, work colleagues all have burdens. There's not actually one person here this morning that's actually not carrying some sort of burden right now. It could be a burden about your marriage. It could be a burden about your own health, about your children. It might be their physical or their mental health that you're concerned with, that you're carrying. It could be a burden about your aging parents. If you have children who are dependent on you, then it could be you could be burdened by the thought of what will happen to them when you're too old to care for them, which is a burden that Wendy and I carry every day. Other people here today are lonely. They're fearful. People around us, we know, are also depressed. They're anxious. They're angry. People are struggling with addictions and disappointments with life. Most, if not all, of these burdens that people carry are actually carried internally, aren't they? They're unseen largely by the rest of the world. So if they're largely unseen and unspoken, how can we fulfill the law of Christ and carry someone else's burden, as Paul tells us to do? Paul's not suggesting that we become busybodies and start probing about people's personal issues, or that we actually try and take someone's problem from them and carry it ourselves instead of them. What he means by carrying each other's burdens is that we come alongside people and help them bear that load. And we can do this in a similar way that we would help someone who's actually carrying a heavy load that they're actually struggling to carry. Let's say that I'm carrying a really heavy log this morning on my head. Many countries around the world, the way people carry heavy things is actually to place it on their head, because that actually bears the whole weight on their entire body. Now, if you see me struggling with a heavy log and you want to help me, how would you do that? Would you tell me to put that log down so that you could pick it up and take it from me? Well, if it's too heavy for me to carry, how are you going to carry it very far? You could tell me to throw the log aside. It's too heavy, that burden that you're carrying, that log you're carrying. It's not worth the effort to carry such a heavy thing. But I'm actually carrying that log for a reason, aren't I? It's valuable in some way to me. And so most of the burdens that we carry are not just things that we can throw aside, are they? If they were things that we could throw aside easily, then they probably wouldn't be burdening us. Burdens are usually things that we're somehow attached to. But you can't help me either from a distance. What I really need is for someone to come alongside me, and then I'll need them to put their head and their own body, their strength, under that log with me until the weight is distributed on both of us, lightening the load and helping me to carry it. And so one of the key ways that you can bear another person's burden is by listening to them. You might think that listening isn't really tangible enough help, But I actually think we underestimate the power of listening and what effect that it has on people and the loads that they're carrying. The Christian writer James Dobson says, for some strange reason, human beings tolerate stress and pressure much more easily if at least one other person knows that they are enduring it. And we can see the impact of listening on people in the life and ministry of Jesus. You see, Jesus is someone who listens, who listened to people, and in doing so, he helped relieve their burden. There are many stories in the Gospels which show Jesus stopping and taking time to listen to people who had really heavy burdens. An example of one of those is the passage we heard in Mark 10 that Raylene read to us before. You see, Jesus stops by the side of the road just outside the town of Jericho to listen to a blind beggar named Bartimaeus. We often rush over that story, that encounter with Bartimaeus, because we want to get to the bit where Jesus does the miracle and restores Bartimaeus' sight. And this is actually a great moment in the story, the healing of Bartimaeus. But we also need to notice other things in that story as well. Jesus is actually modeling to his disciples what true greatness is by taking time to stop and listen to Bartimaeus, who cried out for help. You see, the incident with Bartimaeus comes directly after Jesus has just told two of his disciples that they can't have the two seats of honor in his coming kingdom. Greatness, he says, is measured not in being served, but in serving others. And so the very next incident that Mark records is Jesus then having this encounter with blind Bartimaeus, the beggar. And so as Jesus is leaving Jericho with a large crowd, they pass by Bartimaeus on the side of the road. But because the crowd's so large, Jesus doesn't even notice him sitting there by the side of the road, because this crowd is swarming all around him. But as Jesus passes by, Bartimaeus cries out. He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People around Bartimaeus tell him basically to shut up. "Jesus is too important to stop and talk to you," is basically what they're saying. "He doesn't want to listen to you, buddy. We've got more important things to do. We're on a journey." But Jesus hears Bartimaeus and he tells his disciples to call them. And then Jesus asks Bartimaeus a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" And this seems like a weird question, doesn't it? Bartimaeus is blind. Everyone else can see that. The crowd knows this, the disciples knows this, even Jesus knows that Bartimaeus is blind. So why would Jesus ask him this question? Why didn't he just come over and do a quick healing job and then off to Jerusalem? The reason is that Jesus wants to restore more than Bartimaeus' sight. He also is modeling what it means to really serve. And so Jesus' question, "What do you want me to do for you?" gives Bartimaeus an opportunity to speak. And it gives an opportunity for Jesus to listen to Bartimaeus, which is exactly what he did. And so we often think of Jesus as the master storyteller, but I think we should see him as the master listener as well. In John's Gospel, it's by listening to the woman at the well who has lots of different theories on life and lots of problems to go with those theories that he eventually gets to an opportunity to understand and hear her true burden and then be able to go on to minister to her and in a way that brings her healing. So then back into Galatians 6:2, which is the focus of my message today, Paul tells us how we can put the command of Jesus to love our neighbour into practice in a very practical way by carrying our neighbour's burdens. Now you might think, oh yeah, I want to do that. I want to love my neighbor as Jesus talks about. I want to be a person who listens to my partner, to my spouse, to my kids, to my neighbors, to my colleagues. But I'm just getting really burdened thinking about how poorly I actually listen. Jesus may be the master listener, you're thinking, but I'm not. The fact is, none of us listen well. Sure, research indicates that women, Canadians, and HR managers are at the top of the list when it comes to being good listeners. But in reality, even their listening performance is not that spectacular. I'm afraid to say, sorry about that, Steve. But the good news is that our inability to listen well and love well doesn't actually take God off guard. It's actually not like he's setting us up to fail. Jesus is not sending us out into the world unaided, coldly commanding us to talk less and listen more. Instead, Jesus promises to be with us as we go into the world in his name, seeking to fulfill the law of Christ by carrying the burdens of others through listening to them. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus gave his followers a command to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, Spirit and Son. Now, if that was all Jesus said, then that would be very challenging for any of us to do, if not impossible. And I would suggest that we'd be better off staying at home than just following that command. But that's not all Jesus said in that passage when he's just about to depart, is it? He also gave a promise that goes with that command. And in the final part of verse 20, Jesus tells us actually how we can love our neighbours and how we can carry their burdens and make disciples of people from all nations. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." You see, Jesus didn't tell his followers actually to do anything in their own strength. But he promises to be always with us. At the end of Luke's gospel, Luke phrases this final encounter with his disciples differently. And in Luke 24:49, he hears Jesus say, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you be being clothed with power from on high." And the power from on high, friends, is the Spirit of God who enables us to do and be all that Jesus desires us to do and be. And so here in the letter to the Galatians, Paul isn't giving us a different message to Jesus. He isn't saying, bear other people's burdens yourself in your own strength. His message in all his letters is that everything we are called to do and be is meant to be done in and through the power of God's Spirit, including loving our neighbours and carrying their burdens by listening to them. You see, friends, that grade 4 girl was right. Listening that is therapeutic and healing is listening that is done by people who want to hear. And her answer sounds quite simple to us, but our biggest problem with listening is not that we can't listen or that we get distracted when listening. Our biggest hurdle is that we don't want to hear. The reason that we need to draw on the Spirit's power is because he gives us the desire to listen. He makes us want to hear. And he can prompt us when we're not listening well, and he can remind us constantly that listening is really an act of love, a healing balm for those who are carrying a heavy burden. But the presence and active work of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we don't need to apply ourselves to listening. Okay? It's not a get out of jail free card. We need to actually cooperate with God's Spirit to become people who listen well. Therefore, I want to finish this morning by suggesting several ways that you can become a better listener while drawing on the help of the Holy Spirit. And so the first way you can become a burden carrier through listening is by seeking to practice active listening. Most of us are passive listeners. And as I've mentioned already, research shows that passive listening results in us remembering little of what we hear. And so that 25% is not enough to really understand someone's deep burdens to the point where they actually feel heard and loved. To empathize, we need to become active listeners. And this involves seeking to enter another person's situation and try and understand their situation from their point of view. Active listening also means dealing with the distractions that prevent us from hearing well. And one of our big distractions these days is our phones, isn't it? How do you feel when someone is looking at their phone while they're talking to you? Or while you're talking to them, rather. It's pretty off-putting, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, what does that message say? It's pretty off-putting, isn't it? We need to put our phones on silent. We even need to put them away. I suggest you begin to converse with someone, as you begin to converse with someone, that you ask also yourself several questions to help you focus. Ask yourself, what is this person really saying to me? And what do they mean by what they're saying? Too often we can be busy trying to think up what we want to say in response instead of trying to understand what they're saying. And when we do that, we miss the gist of the story altogether. Putting more emphasis on affirming a person in a conversation rather than trying to give an answer or a solution to their problem will also enhance your understanding of them and the burden that they're carrying. Seeking to find a solution to problems that you're hearing is what I do a lot of. In fact, it's common to most men. I want to fix things, solve things, because I think that often a person's told me something because they want me to do something about it. But the truth is that people are not looking for someone to always fix things. Men, this is a message for a lot of us. People just desperately want someone to hear them and to understand their situation. It's also helpful to give feedback and indicate to someone that you're listening and following what they're saying. And this can be done by giving eye contact. It could be done through words of affirmation. And a good way is by giving periodic feedback about what you've heard, you know, to repeat back a little bit what they've said. And also by asking questions for more clarification that will really encourage someone. And lastly, we should seek to be non-judgmental. A sure way to close down a conversation with someone who's sharing deeply with you is by being judgmental or condescending. Listening to people share their burdens and in turn sharing our own burdens with them actually leads to the deepening of relationships. And it's here in these times, in these places of deepening relationships, that we also find opportunities to share about the hope that we have in Jesus. That doesn't make listening some sort of cheap evangelistic technique. It's actually just a natural progression of a relationship in which you desire to love your neighbour by sharing how God has helped you in your situation. You see, listening not only helps people carry a burden, it also allows us to speak and share our own experiences, and it gives us opportunities to point to the one who is able to carry all burdens, the one that you're carrying today, that's on your mind right now, that's always with you. Jesus is able to carry that burden if you are willing to give him that burden this morning. I want to encourage you to do that this morning, to let that burden be lifted from you. If you've never imagined having an opportunity to mention how you've trusted in God for certain things, or imagined yourself mentioning to someone, your neighbour or friend, that you've felt peace or guidance, or that you've had a prayer answered about a certain issue, then I want to encourage you this morning that becoming an active listener to someone will actually lead to those conversations. When you seek to build relationship with people through becoming an active listener who helps carry another's burden, then you'll find that the most natural next step is for you to share where your hope comes from, which for us, friends, is from Jesus. Friends, this is how we will help our spouses, our neighbours and friends, and it's how people will encounter Jesus in us today. Let's take Christ Jesus' command seriously to love our neighbours, but let's also widen our understanding of what it means to love our neighbours, to becoming burden carriers and active listeners to people who have great burdens. And when we do this, I believe that we will become a community of God's people who are known in this district as people who really want to hear. And in doing so, we'll fulfill the law of Christ to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a challenge, but there's light in your word, Lord. Not only is there a challenge to us, but you give us a way that we can be more like Christ. Help us this morning to draw on the Holy Spirit for our strength, for our ability to do these things. Help us not to be out of step with the Spirit, but to be constantly in step with the Spirit, seeking His power to be better listeners and burden carriers to the people that we live and interact with on a daily and weekly basis. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Perry.